This program is made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. My name is Rick Renner, and I'm here again with the wonderful Denise Renner.
Thank you, Rick. I'm enjoying our time in these programs so much.
Denise, we're talking about how to have a happy marriage, and we have a happy marriage. And tomorrow is our 44th wedding anniversary. But please order this series. Comes with a study guide, and get Denise's book, which is called Who Stole Cinderella? The Art of Happily Ever After. This is really a good book. And now you can order the RIV of 1st and 2nd Peter. And today I'm going to read a little bit to you from the RIV of 1st Peter. But you can order all these things by going online or by giving us a call. Just call the number on the screen or go online. And Denise, we really want people to tell us how to pray for them. We believe in prayer.
Absolutely.
And you know, sometimes when we're in Tulsa and we walk through the prayer ministry, it's like a roar of prayer. People are just fervently praying for those that reach out to us. And not only do people reach out to us with prayer requests, they call back with testimonies. And the testimonies are amazing. Testimony after testimony of people who received an answer to prayer after they called or wrote to us. And we believe there's a testimony with your name on it, just waiting for you. So let us know how to pray for you, and we want to pray for you as well. But Denise, today, we're going to move on. Are you ready?
We're ready.
And we're going to talk about embracing forgiveness in the context of marriage. If you want to have a happy marriage, then you have to learn how to forgive and forgive very quickly. And I want us to begin in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, which we covered in the last program. And it says, neither give place to the devil. We saw in the last program that when you give place to the devil, it often results in strife. And when strife gets in, there is every evil work. And Denise and I shared that early on in our marriage, and I mean decades ago, we learned that when we would get into strife, one of our kids would get sick. And it took us a while to wake up to it, but we finally realized, you know what, there's some kind of a connection between strife and our kids getting sick.
And that one time that Philip put his hand in that hot coffee, and we were in strife right when that happened, and he got third-degree burns on his hand, and we had to stop and get his hand treated every single day. But strife opened the door for that accident.
And we really learned. And after that, one day, Denise and I were driving in the car, and I told you we were in a little tiny Isuzu iMark. I mean, it was tiny. Mm-hmm. With all of our luggage, we had a tape duplicator, a typewriter. We had all of our luggage. Paul was in the back seat. He refused to stay in the car seat. That was a great frustration. Philip was on Denise's lap. We were nearly joined at the hip because the car was so compact. And one day we got into strife, and I said, Denise, if we allow this, something's going to happen. We finally learned strife opened a door to every evil work. So you know what we did? I said, Denise, let's tell strife to get out of our car. We literally rolled down the window on both sides of the car.
We did.
We said, strife, get out of this car. And we realized strife is a spirit. It is a spirit. And when you allow it in, it creates bad things, and we commanded it to get out of our car, and we developed a no-strife policy in our home. But when you go to Ephesians 4, verse 27, it says, neither give place to the devil. The word place is the Greek word topos. It describes a real geographical location like a door or a window or a crack. The devil's looking for some way to get in, so you've got to be sure that you give him no place. But then when you go to verse 29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Well, I always thought that meant curse words. But the word corrupt is the Greek word sapros. It describes anything that is rotting. You don't have to speak curse words to speak corrupt communication. Corrupt communication is anything that produces rot. It doesn't produce anything that's good. It just produces rot. It's just corrupt. And he goes on to say instead, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And sometimes we just need to stop and ask ourselves, is there a benefit to what I'm saying? Am I going to take Denise higher or am I going to take her lower? Maybe I need to find a way to re-present my argument or re-present what I'm trying to say. I need to repackage my words to make them a blessing and not something that's just corrupt and is going to produce something bad. And then it goes on and says in verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Sometimes you just need to stop and say, is this communication blessing the Spirit of God? Or is this grievous to the Spirit of God? You'll know. You'll know the answer. And if the way that you're behaving, the way you're speaking is grieving to the Holy Spirit, then you ought to stop it. If it's grieving to the Holy Spirit, it's going to be grieving to your spouse. And guess what? It's going to grieve you too. You're going to be sorry later that you talked like that.
But you have to do this on purpose.
It's very intentional.
It doesn't happen accidentally. You have to do this on purpose.
And the following verse says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And do you know what I've learned? If you can just be nice, you're a pretty mature Christian. I am really impressed by people that are just nice. But you know what? That's a decision. You choose to be nice. And rather than put all of your emotion and spend all of your emotions in bitterness and spend all your emotions on wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, put it away from you with all malice. And he says, be ye kind one to another. Be ye in Greek is a form of the Greek word genomai. A better translation would be in the process of becoming kind one to another, which means this is something you have to learn. You have to learn how to put on the brakes. And you have to learn how to reverse your action. You got to get involved in the process of becoming kind one to another, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And Denise, the word forgiving here would be better translated, are you ready for this? Gracing one another, as God for Christ's sake hath graced you.
Powerful.
Well, how many times have you ever just thought, I just wish somebody would give me grace in this situation? I just wish she would just give me grace in this. Well, in the same way you want somebody to grace you, sometimes the best thing you can do is just to grace somebody else. Just let it go. You don't have to correct every single thing that happens. Now, I'm a teacher, and so I'm one that wants to teach. I'm one that wants to put things in order. But you know what? Sometimes teaching is not the answer. Sometimes you just need to overlook it and let it go. You just need to grace somebody in their situation. Just grace them, just like you want to be graced. And it's powerful. And when you just grace somebody and just love them in spite of them, it is so powerful. It frees them to hear from God. It frees them to want to change on their own. And I want to give another verse, but go ahead, Denise.
You know, I'm thinking of Proverbs because it says that there is learning in sweet talk. If people are arguing, there's no learning going on. We have one son that says, if people are shouting at each other, nobody hears anything. And there's no learning going on. And that verse says to be tenderhearted. Now, to be tenderhearted, you've got to guard your heart.
Yes.
Because if that person is railing against you, you can't say, well, I'm just going to guard my heart against them. And they're not going to hurt me.
And they're thinking about how to answer back.
That is not a tender heart.
No, it's not.
That's a hard heart. And God didn't call marriage for us to be hard-hearted towards each other, but He called us to be tender-hearted toward each other. Marriage is not supposed to be like this. It's supposed to be like this. Understanding, supporting, giving grace to one another, and keeping a tender heart towards your spouse.
And gracing each other as God, for Christ's sake, has graced us. Denise, think how God has just graced us.
Oh.
Rick. I mean, how can I be judgmental of anybody else when I think about how unjudgmental God has been of me? He has just graced me and graced me and graced me. And friends, we are obligated to grace others.
Well, and that verse says, you forgive as you've been forgiven.
That's right.
That's a very high standard. You say, well, I don't want to forgive anymore. I'm tired of their actions. They always do that. I say something to them and they say this back to me and we never get along. Well, you've got to press through.
And sometimes pressing through is backing off.
Exactly.
Just back off and just give grace.
And just give grace. Give time. Think of a good thought. Think, you know, that's a good attribute about them. I can think of things I can be thankful for them about my spouse. Oh, that's good. He is like that. She is like that. Lord, thank you for that. Because the enemy's coming in.
Call to remembrance good things.
Well, the enemy's coming in with accusation, Rick.
Right.
Because he is an accuser. So he's either going to accuse you or he's going to accuse your spouse in your mind. And that's when you've got to keep, no, I'm keeping a tender heart.
All right, I want to share something from the RIV of 1 Peter. Are you ready for this? Where Peter is speaking to husbands and wives. And remember what I said in a previous program, Peter had been married about 60 years. So he knew something about marriage. So when most people read 1 Peter chapter 3, they think that all his speech about marriage ends in verse 7. But he really continues in verse 8. And in verse 8, the King James Version says, finally, it's kind of a wrap up to everything that he said. Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Mm. Well, this verse really helps me, and I'm going to tell you how it helps me. It says, finally, so he's wrapping it up, be of one mind. That's a goal. That's a goal, to be of one mind. I'm going to give you the RIV of this in just a moment. It says, have compassion of one another. And you know, sometimes in the context of marriage, you just need to have compassion. Sometimes that is what is needed. Just to be very honest, sometimes Denise doesn't need my words. She needs my hug. And a hug can fix a lot of things. And sometimes she'll just say, Rick, would you please just hug me? And I always feel so silly at that moment because it's sad that she had to tell me. But sometimes we need to be reminded that sometimes people don't just need correction, correction, correction. They just need a hug to help them.
And I want to say something right there. Because wives, we expect our husbands to read our minds. We think they know how we feel. We think they know that we've had a bad day or that we're exhausted and that a hug will help. Well, they just might not be thinking about that. And so a real practical thing is just to say, I need a hug.
But the verse goes on to say, love as brethren. Now that really helps me. You know why? Because before Denise was my wife, she was my sister. One day when we go to heaven, she will still be my sister. Right now in life, God has joined us for the purpose of marriage. But before she was my wife, and long after the grave, when we're all in heaven, she'll still be my sister. And do you know what? She deserves the same behavior I would give to any sister in the body of Christ. I'm not going to be ugly with a woman at church. I'm not going to get into strife with any woman at church. You know why? Because they are my sister in Christ, and they deserve my respect. And sometimes you just got to put on the brakes and say, now, wait a minute. You're talking to a sister in Christ. Doesn't matter if she's your wife. Doesn't matter if you're in strife or you're in disagreement. She's your sister. and she deserves respect and honor as a sister. That really helps me. But then it goes on to say, be pitiful, be courteous. And you know what? Now, Denise, I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes Denise just kind of gets into maybe an emotional squandary. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't even make any sense to her. And rather than correct her, sometimes I think of this verse that says, be pitiful. And sometimes I just look and I say, that is just pitiful. She just needs me. She doesn't need my correction. She needs my pity. She needs my love. She needs my compassion. And the next thing the verse says is, be courteous. Be courteous. Be polite. Be courteous in your relationship. You'd be courteous to anybody else. You're talking about the most important person in your life. It's your husband. It's your wife. You should be courteous in your relationship. And I want to give you the RIV of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Are you ready for this, Denise?
I want to interrupt.
Okay.
I want to say that Rick was courteous to me today because I had less time to get ready than he did. And I said, Rick, would you just please make the bed? And he was courteous in, yeah, I'll do that. Not resentful, not, oh, I don't have time. No, I don't want to do that. No, he said he would do it in a very courteous way.
Well, thank you, sweetheart. But I want to give you the RIV of 1 Peter 3:8, and Denise has never heard it, so this is new. Here it is. But I have a really important additional final word. Corporately, all of you are to be synchronized as much as possible in your mind, perception, and understanding. You must also be sympathetic and be compassionate and empathetic with each other. Love each other as those who are really related to each other. You must have emotions for each other so deeply felt that it moves you from a gut level to reach out to do whatever you can to help each other. Denise, you do that for me so many times. Be unassuming, unpretentious, without airs about yourself. Even if you are more gifted than others, nevertheless, do not be self-promoting, but intentionally think modestly of yourself. Now, that is just amazing to me. And then the next verse says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. But you know what? The Bible tells us to be courteous, to be polite, to be pitiful, to be compassionate, to love as brethren. And to me, that really elevates marriage. It really elevates marriage. You know, Denise is my wife, but Denise is my sister, and I'm her brother. We are both blood-washed individuals, and even in the context of marriage, that just brings a lot of honor to the relationship.
It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that even though we're different, we all drink from the same Spirit. We are so one, not just because in marriage, but we are one because we're one in Him. And and this world, we want, it tries to separate us. It tries to say, oh, you're this, you're this. Oh, you're that. Oh, I don't need you. I can do this myself. But not in the body of Christ. We do need one another and to esteem one another because we drink from the same Spirit.
Denise, I want to give the RIV of 1 Peter 3:9 one more time. But you absolutely must not try to get even, to get revenge, or to pay someone back for what he did to you or someone else. Don't try to settle the score by repaying someone's bad, evil, malicious, rotten attitudes and behaviors in exchange for more bad, evil, malicious, rotten behaviors. Or if someone has verbally abused, berated, damaged, debased, harassed, humiliated, insulted, or misused you or someone else, do not make it your business to pay them back with the same kind of verbal abuse. But on the contrary, into the farthest opposite end of the spectrum, you must instead speak a verbal blessing in response to them. For it is this very purpose that you've been prestigiously called, that you should be the recipients of a blessing. And you know what the next verse says? For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. The RIV says, for the person who fully intends to have a life that's full of gusto and zest, that is a life really worth living, and who wishes to firsthand see and experience the really good and profitable days, times, and seasons in life, then let him make sure his tongue refrains from, ceases, and permanently stops from speaking evil. For if a person wants to have a life really worth living, then he must purposely put distance between himself and evil, and that includes watching what he says and no longer allowing his mouth to spew reckless words. And that's what we're going to talk about in the next program. We're going to talk about watching your mouth in the context of marriage. It's really going to be good. But we're out of time. But Denise and I will be back to pray for you in just a moment. How did you begin your ministry in the Soviet Union?
Well, Joel, when we first moved to the former Soviet Union, which at that time was still the Soviet Union, I was invited here to speak as a regular teacher in a Bible school. And every day, I'd walk down to that Bible school and I would stand in front of about 220 students, people who were so hungry. And it was such an amazing moment because it was the first time they could openly study the Bible, because in the Soviet Union that had been forbidden. And now here they were sitting in a Bible school studying the scriptures. And my beginning here was to be their teacher. And what is amazing is that many of those students who were with me in the very beginning today pastor the largest churches in the entire former Soviet Union. Everywhere we go, we see the fruit of those wonderful students.
Want a marriage filled with peace, purpose, and joy? In this new series, How to Have a Happy Marriage, Rick and Denise Renner share biblical wisdom and real life lessons that have helped them strengthen their relationship with one another, overcome strife, and experience the joy of a God-centered marriage. In this five-part series, you will learn how to find purpose in your marriage, how to eliminate strife and maintain peace, the power of forgiveness, how to let the Holy Spirit guide your tongue. Available in digital or physical formats starting at just $11, this series will equip you to strengthen your marriage on a solid biblical foundation. In addition to this teaching series, you can order Denise's book, Who Stole Cinderella?, and Rick's book, The RIV of 1st and 2nd Peter. Order today. Don't miss this special offer of the bundle of the series, How to Have a Happy Marriage, starting at just $11, and the books, Who Stole Cinderella? For $17, and The RIV of 1st and 2nd Peter, 25% off for a special introductory price of $28.50. Call the number on your screen or go online to Renner.org to order. Call or go online now.
Hey, this is Rick Renner, and I'm standing inside the partner care department of our ministry, and this is where the action takes place. Thousands of phone calls every day and every month come into this place from people reaching out to us. And this is my precious mother who is in heaven, and she established this part of the ministry. But these are the principles we are dedicated to feed the entire flock God has brought to this ministry, to strengthen those who are diseased in any area of their lives, to bring healing to those in need of any type of healing, to bind up those who are broken in any area of their lives, to bring back those that have been driven away, to reach the lost, and to take the gospel and the trusted teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth, to shepherd the flock that God has caused to hear the voice of this ministry, and to help them grow in their relationship with Christ and become powerful Bible-based believers equipped for these last days, and to thank and minister to partners whose sacrificial gifts have enabled this ministry to fulfill its call around the world. And we are very committed to these principles. And if you're a partner, you know we're very serious about that. But hey, right now we're trying to pay off this facility, and those who are part of the Ministry Expansion Project are helping us to do that. And if you're a part already, thank you. But if you're not part of that giving team yet, we need you. So would you please become a part of the Ministry Expansion giving team so we can pay off this facility and then keep taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, where people really are crying out for someone to bring them trusted teaching of the Bible. And that's us, that's our call. And my friends, together we can do this. And I want to say thank you so much.
Well, today we've been talking about the need to embrace forgiveness in the context of marriage. Sometimes you just need to grace each other. The Bible says we're to grace each other as God, for Christ's sake, has graced us. And sometimes the most powerful thing you can do is just to grace somebody. And you need to learn to do that in the context of marriage. But please order the whole series, which is called How to Have a Happy Marriage by Rick and Denise Renner. It comes with a study guide. And be sure to order Denise's book, which is called Who Stole Cinderella? The Art of Happily Ever After. And be sure to order the RIV of 1st and 2nd Peter. Denise, these resources are just amazing, and I want people to have them. And you can get them by going online or by giving us a call. And please let us know how to pray for you, because we really want to pray for you. And put your hand on your heart right now, because Denise and I are going to pray for you together just now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you've given us the power to overlook, to let go, and to grace. And just like we want people to grace us, help us to learn that there are moments when we just need to close our lips and just give grace to people. Help us to be compassionate, to love as brethren, to be pitiful, and to be courteous like we are commanded in 1 Peter chapter 3. We thank you for this. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. You know, Denise, if somebody can just be nice, they've already really attained something. Let's all pray that we can be nice. Father, we thank you again for it in Jesus' name. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow. But remember, Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
If you just prayed the prayer of salvation with us, would you please let us know by going to renner.org/salvation? We would love to connect with you. Renner Ministries is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ through every available media avenue to the uttermost parts of the earth. Discover the many ways you can help us make a difference in lives around the world with the Word of God. We invite you to partner with us in teaching, strengthening, and rescuing lives for the glory of God. Together, we can make a difference that will last throughout eternity. This program was made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries.